You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We kick off the show with a sense of market movements throughout the day and get a sense of what's been moving some of these decisions. I'm joined on the line by Portfolio Manager at Sanlam, a private wealth, Nick Kunz, to see what we make of market movements. Nick, lovely to have you on the show as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. This time of the year, 17 Rand 25 against the US dollar. Did you think you'd see this level? Did we think that this is how the Rand would be performing as we kind of wrap up the year?
Evening, Jimmy. Nice to be on as always. Quick answer, no. And you've got to sometimes take these wins when you get them. And I must tell you, 30 odd years of being in this business, you know, forecasting the Rand dollar is like the world's worst job. I don't think anyone's ever got it right. It's like the graveyard shift on your first job. But nevertheless, you know, and almost it, not just the weaker dollar. Yes, the weaker dollar has been a disaster. It's down about 10%, I think, on the basket, or 9% on the basket of a Dixie this year, but also Rand strength. And I think gaining a little bit of momentum, you know, coming off the grey listing, you know, certainly well received G20, the naysayers. I think it was very, very well received. It put SA in quite a good image as well, and a couple of other sort of early goals as well, and getting a little bit of momentum. So Eskom, and we can go on and on about it. But, you know, all of those little wins put together contributing to, you know, a stronger currency, which it is, whether you like it or not. The currency is a barometer of a country. And I think it looks pretty good, and it's telling us that things are doing okay.
How okay are we at the moment, Nick? I mean, the markets have been volatile throughout the year. Investors have been looking for returns. We've seen some unprecedented returns on the equity side, and we'll get into those in a moment. But from a risk premium perspective, now that we've gotten the grey listing conversation behind us, we've gotten that all-important ratings upgrade by Standard & Poor's, even though we're still in junk status, how is the country risk premium looking at the moment?
I guess you've got to compare apples with apples, right? So, I mean, look at the emerging market basket. So on a comparative basis, we look a lot better than some. We're not great. I mean, we all know the fiscal position in South Africa, debt to GDP is still a little bit concerning. We all know about the narrow tax base. You know, those are all the stuff we do know. What I can tell you is we've got a fiercely independent South African Reserve Bank. Unfortunately, a little bit too hawkish than some of us would like. You know, we wish rates were lower. But nevertheless, that real rate does play into the hands of foreign investors. It's a very attractive yield. That carry trade is very alive and well. And if we have to actually look in that emerging market space, you know, we do not have traditionally a lot of dollar denominated yet. We do have a lot of debt in our own currency, which is a good thing. I think it's only about 8 or 9% outstanding in dollar denominated debt. So that also playing in our things. So on a relative basis, we don't look so bad. The problem arises, though, is that when you do have this risk on, risk off theme, and it's been a choppy market the last couple of weeks, you can see it. You know, the Rand and SA tends to flow with that risk on and risk off. So, you know, if the world falls over tomorrow, you know, we're not going to escape it. We're going to fall down as well. But overall, again, I say, you know, we look okay. And you know, we're coming off a very, very low base. And I would argue that there's still more room to roof to the upside.
Nick, let's look at those equity markets. Is there room to the upside on those markets? They have run really hot throughout the year. We've hit record levels on multiple occasions locally. We've had really good international markets. Have they run to their limits, or are we still going to see something perhaps from the infamous Santa rally that we're expecting?
No, so let's look at the local aspect. Year to date, JSE All Share 31% up. I mean, I have to sort of rub my eyes and make sure that's right.
But check that figure again.
But yeah, but you know, the better part of 10 years, you know, we haven't participated in that emerging market rally for all the reasons that we know. And yes, we've had a great, fantastic year. It is reasonably narrow, I will say that. You know, recently it has just been the gold shares, and I made a large portion of that run, and the platinum shares. The rest of the market, and we can probably touch on some of the local earnings in a second, but, you know, they're actually doing okay. They're starting to sort of carry their weight and starting to, so I think the rally is a little bit broader in SA, so I do think there's more room to move. Offshore, question marks, I'm not sure. Very choppy, very volatile. I see Nvidia down about 7% as we speak. You know, is it risk on, risk off? You know, the AI trade is either on or off from one day to the next. Valuations in the States do remain elevated, let's say it that way. Historically, they are expensive. And Europe's also, we still got, issues in Europe. Europe's still battling to grow. It's still battling to get their act together. We've still got problems with Russia and Ukraine. So, yes, there is a lot of causes for concern. But I get the feeling, as I've been watching this for a long time, these markets, I get the feeling we're late in the cycle. But I mean, I don't think we're ready to call it top just yet.
What about the commodity side of things, Nick? Gold price also running new record highs, levels we have never seen in the history of the gold price. At the same time, you're getting moderated crude oil prices that kind of seem to be on the lower end of, I would imagine, what OPEC has as an ideal range. How is that shaping up, and are we kind of done for the year with regards to the gold price?
So gold price is difficult. I mean, again, like the rand dollar, so difficult to forecast. But I can understand and I can advocate why an investor should have some gold in their portfolio in the long term as a hedge against a devaluing dollar, as a hedge against just the what if in case things go bad. You can do that. Would I chase the gold price now? It seems a little bit rich this side of 4,000, but I do think it can stay here for a while. That's the one side of it. Oil price, that's a double-edged sword, and I think we've spoken about oil before. It's a tricky one, because the one side, you need a low oil price because that is your inflationary concern, especially for places like South Africa and other emerging markets. We import all that energy, so we import all that inflation. So we want a lower oil price, which is a good thing. But the other side of that argument is, you touched on OPEC. OPEC do not want to see a lower oil price, and they will probably turn the taps off at some point. But the lower oil price also tells you that things are slowing. And that is also sometimes a little bit of a warning sign when you do get a low oil price. I saw a low tide yesterday. I think JP Morgan and Morgan Stanley talking about somewhere around the mid-50s oil, which is probably where I think it's going to settle. But that again is telling you a story that the world is starting to slow a little bit after what has been, I guess, a decade and a bit of an unprecedented bull run we've had.
Nick, let's look at some of those local earnings numbers that you mentioned. Pepkor Group giving us an update this today around their year. What do you make of those numbers and some of the other announcements related to the Pepkor business?
Yeah, interesting, wasn't it? I mean, when the first story broke and they spoke about going into sort of the mass market banking and the discount banking area and a few other things, and on the face of it, a solid set of numbers. If I looked at what their sort of informal market platform, which is one of their fintech sort of good stories, up 20 odd, I think 23, 24%. Again, all those numbers are really, really good, but the share price was up initially and it actually ended up flat on the day. And I wonder if it's more just a realization that despite their really strong footprint, it's a competitive space, that banking. I mean, we only had recently, we've had Tyme Bank, Discovery Bank, I think Bank Zero, and I think Old Mutual's the next one. I think OM Bank, I think they're calling it. They're also coming to the mass market. So goodness me, it is a very competitive and crowded space. But this is a very well-run business, and I would back management to get it right, actually.
That footprint is quite impressive with more than 6,000 stores across their entire group. Nick, going into the final month of the year, typically a shorter month, typically very lower levels of volatility, or at least asset managers such as yourself winding down positions if you haven't already, in anticipation of a year-end break. Do we see that happening this year? I mean, nothing has really followed the typical rules of markets over the
Rip
last
up the
years.
rule book.
Yeah, this year we've just thrown the rule book out the window. We've decided we're not going to use it. How do you kind of see the last month playing out?
I suspect, I mean, I'll gravitate more to that Santa Claus rally you mentioned. I think we do sort of melt up or grind higher, whatever terminology you want to use, into year end. Again, you're not, everyone's talking about possibly markets, having a crash, recessions is all too high, it's all run too fast. My experience, it doesn't happen when everyone's talking about it. It comes when you least expect it. And right now, you need probably a credit event or some sort of big liquidity event to trigger something like that. I don't see that on the horizon just yet. Again, valuations are expensive. Yes, we know it is. But right now, I see that continuation. Next year, I don't know, all bets might be off. But for now, I think we grind higher into December. Crystal ball stuff, there we go.
I wanted to put you on the spot for next year because if valuations are stretched, surely that means that at some point there must be a market correction, a market retracement, and we don't really know how deep that correction could be. But what does that mean for valuations next year? Because if we didn't, I suppose it can also be argued that we didn't know where we were going to find the returns this year, and so therefore next year could be very much the same.
Yeah, and this is where it does get quite tricky because a lot of the heavy lifting, certainly look at the States. I mean, you've got the Magnificent Seven making up a significant portion of the S&P 500 doing all the sort of heavy lifting. Now, if they retrace, which inevitably they do, you know, one thing I can tell you about bubbles is, which we are, whether you like or not, we're in an AI bubble in a lot of aspects. Bubbles do ultimately sort of deflate. And markets do sort of retrace back to their long-term mean. So the question you've got for next year, Jimmy, and I don't know if I've got the answer right, is, you know, is this, will we get a correction next year into a broader bull market, or do we actually get a correction and there is no bounce? I'm not sure. Maybe leaning more towards the latter. Interest rates are topping out. The Fed is going to cut rates. So we are having a rate cutting cycle. So that is typically positive for bull markets. But again, it might, what you might find next year is it's more of a stock picker's market. And interesting today, interesting moves today. If you look at some of the drill down a little bit, and if you look under the hood, what's happening in the States, you're getting the NASDAQ down 0.5% and the Russell 2000, which is the small cap US market, top 2000 shares in the US, the smaller caps, they're actually up 1%. So maybe that's a healthy, I guess, sort of a rotation out of the expensive into the more value, but I don't know, time will tell.
One of these days, you and I, Nick, are going to have a conversation around what it is that we do when the Magnificent Seven disappear and how we find returns. But for now, we'll leave this conversation on that note. Thank you so much for the time, as always, and for the insights. Nick Kunz, Portfolio Manager at Sanlam Private Wealth, joining us to share his thoughts around market movements, market expectations, and whether or not the year is done providing returns.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.